Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. You know, the word that my wife shared about the just shall live by faith. In my heart, I had, when we were praising and worshiping, I had this thing that if we do not put our faith out there and trust God for manifestation of something, we are not exercising our faith. The Bible talks about faith in the book of Luke chapter 16, where Jesus was talking about faith being a servant. He said, you don't say to your servant when he comes from working in the field, come and sit down and eat. But when your servant comes from the field, you say, okay, now prepare food for me. And then after the servant has prepared food for you, then after you've eaten, only then the servant goes and sit down. So he was talking about faith there as a servant. Faith is the servant that we have to bring to pass the stuff that God has for us. So we should not let our servant to sit down and not produce what God has called us to have. Do not let your faith idle. Let your faith stay in motion. Let your faith work all the time. Keep it engaged. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. You are not going to live by works. You are not going to live by what you do in your strength. You live by faith. Galatians chapter 3 verse 5. It says, you have received miracles. You have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is not because of the works. It's not because you've done certain things in the flesh, but by the hearing of faith. So you heard what the promise of God was. You received that promise. And when you receive that promise, the Bible says, what kicked in is the power of God. So I just felt as we were worshiping here that we must not come to church for the sake of coming to church. Come to church having expectancy. Expecting God to speak to you, expecting God to touch you in some way. And if you come here and you're trusting God for something, when you are here, say, God, speak to me concerning this thing that I'm trusting you for. Give me a word that will encourage me, that will propel me to move forward. So come here ready to run. If there's anything that has not manifested in your life, anything, come here expecting that God will drop a word that will speak into your situation. And by the hearing of faith, grab hold of what is yours. That is living by faith, Bazalon. We don't have to please God. We don't come to church to please God. We don't come to church to tick one of those things that we have to do in the week and say, I have been to church and therefore God has received me and therefore God is pleased with me. God is pleased with you already. He is pleased because of what Jesus Christ did for us. So don't come to church just strolling along without expectation. What are you expecting today? The thing that you're trusting God for, are you believing that God will speak a word to you? And that word does not come only when we preach the word. But as you praise and as you worship, the Lord speaks to you. Like it happened this morning when we started, that song that we started with. You know, I've been singing that song along and you know what? But all of a sudden something happened to me as I was singing that song. Just realizing the vastness of the riches of God that are within us. The fact that we have the river of the Holy Spirit flowing from within us. There is a current. And then as I was singing along that song, when it talks about spring up the world, you know what, it's stirring deep within, and you know, from the ground. For me, I started thinking about the stuff that I'm expecting to manifest. And I believe that this river that is inside me is the river of life. It's bringing that life. So I may not see what I want to see, but there is a river deep within me. And all of a sudden, you know what? I can leave that to the Holy Spirit. I leave the Holy Spirit to take care of the stuff. I don't have to worry about the things. And then I just flow with Him. When He stirs me to confess, I confess. When He stirs me to declare the word, I declare the word. Because I'm flowing from the river of life that is within. So, Bazalwane, come to church. I know you come with expectancy. But I'm just saying, let's up the level of expectancy. Let us come expecting more. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for not having that which God says is yours. Have that expectancy. Because remember, Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You must first have hope for your faith to work. If you don't have hope, your faith cannot work. So what are you hoping for? Are you going to the Word of God? Are you digging deep into the Word of God? And as you dig deep into the Word of God, then what you will see is hope rises. Hope rises. Hope rises. And as hope rises, your mind is being renewed. And as your mind is being renewed, you'll see the manifestation of the stuff that God has promised you. You cannot settle for less. We should not settle for less. Everything that God has promised us, let us trust that it will happen. Praise the Lord. And if it has not happened, stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. The series that we are doing on Facebook currently, it's on change. The fact that change is possible. At times you look at change in one category of your life, but the fact is that word is speaking into every area of our lives. If there is a situation in your life that you want to see changed, read that article. Follow the series that we'll be doing as well. You will see how does God bring about the change. I am applying it to myself. I told you guys, the way that the Lord allows me to preach to you is the way that He's preaching to me. I'm not preaching it to you. It's the Word of God that comes to all of us. So I read those messages. I listen to the messages that are preached here because I believe that they are God inspired and God has a word for the people that fellowship here. And then that's what I go with. Praise be to God. Now, one other thing as well that I was thinking about earlier was, you know, we are on this series. We are complete in God. The question to me was then, how does that help me? How does it help me to live my day-to-day life? I'm complete in Christ. I may just think, ooh, hallelujah, one day I'm going to heaven. Ooh, one day I'll see Jesus. I will reign with Him. I put everything into the future. My salvation is guaranteed. I know that God does not look at my works. God looks at Jesus Christ. My forgiveness. I have received forgiveness because of what Jesus Christ has done. So before God, I am holy and I am pure. That's what we went through. But how does that help me in my day-to-day living? I thought we need to answer that question. And the one thing that I want to highlight to you this morning is because I am accepted before God and I am without blame, as the first chapter of Ephesians says, it means then I can have confidence to approach God about anything. I can have communion with God. I can have a relationship with God where I know that He does not find fault with me. So I spend time with Him, I commune with Him as much as I desire. It doesn't matter where I am. That is how this message is supposed to help you and I. First of all, if you have a need, know that God will give you that thing. You qualify for that thing already because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. You are not a sinner seeking God's salvation or forgiveness. So He's your Father, so His provision is there. It is ready for you. But then, the second thing is, you can have what? Communion with God. So when you wake up in the morning, it's not about a procedure. It's about what? Relationship and interacting with God as He leads you on that day. So you take that time, you wake up, you speak to Him, you go about in your day doing whatever you're doing. You know that you are complete in Christ. There's nothing lacking. You don't have to perform in any way before God. God's love for you is unconditional. It is not based on what you do. That's what this message is supposed to do to us. Then what will happen then? We will start getting closer and closer to God. And we will have more confidence in our relationship with God. We will have more confidence that God will do that which He promises us to do. Because what stops us in many cases is because we feel that I do not deserve. I have not prayed enough. I have not done this. I have not done that. Therefore, I do not qualify for God to give me what I need. One day when the Lord is pleased with what I do, then He will respond by giving me what I need. That is works, Bazalwane. That is not what we are called to. Galatians 3, verse 5. We receive miracles. We receive the gift of the Spirit, not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. So we hear what God has promised, we receive that, and it comes to pass. But the important thing is our faith has to be engaged. So what are you trusting God for? My wife said something earlier when she said, don't give up on what you are trusting God for. That is critical. It's critical that you stay with that expectancy, believing God to bring this thing to pass to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today we are continuing with our series. You will remember our series is entitled, We Are Complete in Christ. We are complete in Jesus Christ. So when God looks at us, He doesn't see us lacking in anything. You know, God told Israel one time, He said, you must understand, the cattle on the thousand hills belong to me. If I needed meat to eat, I could have killed any of them. So don't think that when you bring me these sacrifices, it's because I'm hungry. I don't need those things. I'm looking for your heart. I want a relationship with you. So when we say now, we are complete in Christ, I want us to hear that, to say we don't have to bring sacrifices before God. Sacrifices in any form. We just have to come in before God and receive what He has done for us. Receive His love and care for us. And as we fellowship with Him, it's like a relationship with a human being. When you first meet somebody, you become friends. You know what happens? You start the relationship, enjoying the relationship with that particular friend, and then time comes when, because of the friendship that you have, you become more and more free to access what the friend can offer you. But if you are still new, you are afraid You need chappies. Your friend has got a chappies. You'll sit without bubble gum because your relationship with your friend has not come to a point where you know that this friend accepts you and your friend desires that you have whatever that they can share with you. So what do? You stay without bubble gum until the relationship is formed. But as the relationship gets formed and you grow, what happens then is you come to a point where, ish, do you have a bubble gum lab? Then the friend will give it to you freely. That is how it goes with God as well. We come to a point where we understand that He accepts us because we are complete in Christ. And then our relationship and our boldness to be able to ask. James said, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask amiss. So, in other words, then as we grow in this confidence that we are accepted in God, we will start experiencing the things of the Lord. If the word of God does not transform us, Bazalani, there is no need in spending time in the word. So the time that you and I spend in the word is supposed to transform our lives. When you live here, the word that you've had here on Sunday, when you go during the week, take that word, meditate on it. Think about that word. Think about that. Apply it in your life. Because you want it to change your life. You are not here just to ease your conscience. I've been to church. Who was in church? I've been in church as well. No, that's not why you came here. You came here seeking God. So follow through. Follow through by taking this word and applying it every day. Praise the Lord. Now, as we go through this part, we finished chapter 1 now of the book of Ephesians. And we learned so much. Now, today we're starting on chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. And it's very interesting. Today you will be reminded again how much has happened in the spiritual realm. And as we understand how much has happened in the spiritual realm, then we understand why we should experience the power of God in the natural. Why we should not be denied by Satan to experience the power of God in our natural lives. Because we understand how much has been accomplished in the spiritual realm. You will be reminded that you are completely different to what you used to be before you accepted Jesus Christ. At times we look at ourselves and say, ah, shame, poor me. God called me to do this and that, but look at where I am. Don't look at yourself like that. Don't look at yourself like that. Understand, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And as you're mindful of who you are in the Spirit, you are rising. Your boldness is growing. And as your boldness grows, you will see the manifestation of what God says He is going to do. Because He has done it already. It's us that just have to receive. The ball is not in His court. It's in our court. He has moved already. He moved 2,000 years ago when He wiped out everything that disqualified us from having a relationship with Him. He moved. And according to Him, it is done. You know, last week we read Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, where the Bible says, an heir, as long as he's still a babe, as long as he's still young, he will never enjoy what belongs to him, the kingdom that belongs to him. That heir has everything that is part of the kingdom. But while that heir is still young, that I will never enjoy what belongs to him. So with us as well, while we are still young in understanding who we are, our stance before God, we will not be able to enjoy that which God has in store for us. Take this word as an encouragement to you to say, God wants you to experience the life that he has for you. He is not withholding anything from you. So do not allow the devil to have you live without that thing. But now, how are you going to get there? Build your understanding of what God has done for you already. As you gain that confidence, you become a grown-up heir. And once you become a grown-up heir, you will rule in the kingdom that belongs to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Our foundation scripture for this series, and as I was telling you last week as well, for me, it's every time it touches me. And only now I feel like I understand this scripture. Because we've been going through this now, today is the 8th time. Can you see why we should keep on visiting the Word of God again and again? We should dwell there. And as we dwell in it, the revelation comes. I was listening to this other man of God. He was talking about how for a year, over a year, he was just meditating on just a few verses. For the whole year. He read the Bible, all the other things, you know what, and he was preaching the word as the Lord was directing him. But then when it was time for him to sit down and meditate on the word, he was just spending time on those just few verses. And he said, I got so much out of those verses. I am getting a lot out of these verses because of this series. This is another thing I wanted to tell you. I read a beautiful quote from another guy, and he said, what is the purpose of the pastor? And he said, the purpose of a pastor is to keep on reminding Christians who they are in Christ. I just said, and that's what we just have to do. It's not about telling people to do. It is about reminding them who they are in Christ. Once they understand who they are in Christ, they will go and do. Because you cannot hear the word of God and not do the righteous works. Never. But if you understand that before God you are accepted in Christ, you understand greater is he that is inside you, and you can do all things, nothing is impossible for you, then all of a sudden you start dreaming big dreams and trusting God to bring through big stuff. But it has to start from you understanding who you are in Christ. And I started thinking, you know, that's what the Lord has been leading us. Just to talk about who we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. We're not talking a lot of other things, but we're just talking about who we are in Christ. Because when we understand who we are in Christ, we'll go out there and live like Christians. So our interactions are meant just to remind us. And the same thing as well, when we interact one with another as individuals, what should happen is always remind your brother, your sister, who they are in Christ. They may come to you crying. Remind them who they are in Christ. Remind them what Christ has already done for them. And as you do that, you're building hope in their hearts. We are the people that should preach hope, present hope to people. We are not supposed to break people down. When people leave us, they must feel better than when they came to us. They must not leave us feeling guilty and worthless, because we are doing the work of the devil then, The devil is the one who condemns. So if people leave us and they feel condemned, let it be them who chose, but let it not be what we did or what we said. What we say should always build them up. They should leave here feeling strong. They should feel like they can conquer the world. They should feel like God is on their side. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You must listen to this. This is flowing, just flowing. And it's what God is saying to us now. Take this. Let this be a compass for your life. Because it is God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you, therefore, have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, this is now in Christ, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, and in the one in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, you are complete in Him. Think about that. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ, and you are complete in Christ. And the Bible teaches us what it says. This Christ now dwells inside us. We have the fullness of the Godhead inside us. Can you see why we need to grow up as a life? We have to talk about who we are in Christ. We need to understand who we are, because we have power that is without measure inside us. We are not letting loose of this power, because we don't understand it. That is why we need to understand this. And it's not just the riches then, the inheritance that is inside us. But then look at this. Verse 10 says now, who is the head of all principality and power? Think about that. This Christ that you and I are complete in, He is the head of all principality and power. So all the power is toward us, like we read last week. The power, what we read from verse 19 of chapter 1 last week, we read that the power which God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, that power is for us. It is for our benefit. So all the power and all the victory that Jesus Christ had belongs to us. We have to know these things, because only then we will be able to walk in them. So we've just read Colossians chapter 2 verses 6 to 10, which is our foundation for this series. We want to understand our completeness in Christ. And that is why we're going through this journey. And we're taking these verses now individually, one by one, and we're looking at them. So today we will read Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 up to 5. Very, very interesting. Let's read. And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead Get that? We were dead. But when we were not born again, we never thought we were dead. We thought we were alive. But the Bible says we were dead. Verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Ha! We were influenced. We thought we were free, but we were influenced. How many people out there think that they are free? But the fact of the matter is they are being influenced. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. They are subject to the power, the spirit. They don't know that. They think we are all right. They don't know that they are being run by a spirit. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Check this out. We conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. That's all we're all about. And of the mind. And we're by nature, it's not by choice, by nature, our nature, and by nature, children of wrath, the wrath of God. So we had no relationship with God. Wrath, children of wrath, just as the others. But God, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, not that he felt pity for us. It's like I'm thinking now of a father who has a lost child, a father going out of his way to look for this lost child and try and bring the child back. That father does it out of love, not out of obligation. This verse says, when God saved us, it was out of his love. He is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Check this out. He loved us even when we were dead in trespasses. God loves those people who are still not born again today. God does not love them less. He is stuck. He wishes he could reach out to them. He is unable to reach out to them. He cannot share his love with them. He loves them. He loved us while we were still dead. We're in trespasses and in our sins. And what did he do? Praise be to God. He made us alive. Eh? He made us alive not just on our own. He made us alive together with Christ. So when we stand before God, we are not standing on our own, but we're standing before God together with Christ. Whatever he gets, I get. He made us alive together with Christ. And then I like this last portion here. It says, by grace, not because of your works, not because of what you do. By grace, you have been saved. Meaning you can never lose your salvation. Because your salvation did not come to you because of what you did. Your salvation came to you because of what Jesus Christ did. By grace, you have been saved. I'm stopping here today. We'll go deep next week. We'll look at these verses individually. I want to stop here. I want you to understand this word today, that we have been redeemed. We have been saved. Now, I would like you to go home, read through these verses. We'll go through them next week. Verses 1 up to 5. We'll go through them in details. And I believe that God is going to speak to us individually. And when we come here, as we discuss this word together as well, I believe that God is going to just add more revelation on these verses. What God is saying to us today, let us understand where we come from. We were completely lost. Not just lost, a little bit. Completely lost. There was no way of bringing us back. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. He loved us, it says, even when we were dead in trespasses. Think about that. You know, I'm stressing this point here because at times we think those people that are not born again, God loves them less. God loves them. He just does not have an opportunity to love on them as much as He can love on us who know the truth. So our prayer then and our approach towards those people has to magnify this great love for God. So we must approach them the way God would approach them. Amen. God is not judging them. Amen. He's not pointing fingers at them. He is not finding fault with them. If we start operating in any other way, other than the way that God is operating towards them, we are allowing the devil to use us. So we should not become the tools for the devil to use to speak negative words towards other people. Because remember, the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. The devil will plant a thought in your mind and you start confessing it and you are creating it. The Bible talks about babies having their angel appearing before God, waiting for direction from God. Did you find anything in the Bible which says when they are old, those babies, they lose their angels? Do you think you've lost your angel? Do you think you don't have angels? So how do we empower those angels? We empower them by the words that we speak. So those babies that may not be born again, I'm talking about the adults now, they started as babies, they don't lose angels. Their angels are just bound. They are unable to do a stuff for them because they have not received what is freely given to them. So let us empower their angels by speaking positive words to them, building them up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we are so grateful for this morning. We thank you for your wonderful words, Father God, the words to encourage us, the words to build us up, Father, the words, Father God, that get us established in who we are in Christ. We thank you for this word, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we continue, Father God, to dig deep, to discover who we are in Christ, Father, just like Paul prayed in the first book of Ephesians, Father, where he prayed that may the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, Father God. We pray that, Father God, you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Father. Let us understand who we are. And Father, I pray that, Father God, will grow in our boldness. We'll grow, Father God, in our boldness to approach you. to approach the throne of grace. Father, we pray that, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, we will be strong in our relationship with you, Father, because we have seen how you love us unconditionally. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for this revelation. And I pray that, Father, as we go on with our lives this week, Father, I pray that this revelation of your great love for us, Father, I pray that, Lord, it will grow and grow and grow and grow, Father. And I pray that it will take over our lives, that we will never doubt your love for us, Father. That, Father God, it doesn't matter what the situation we find ourselves in, Father. That, Father God, in Jesus' name, we will know that because of your great love, Father God, you will save us out of all the negative situations. Thank you, Father God, for your love and grace. Thank you, Father. We receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen.